In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I think we might have gotten it here. You shall see. Hey, look at that. Well, hello, White Sox fans, and welcome to another edition of the Future Sox Podcast. My name is Ian Eskridge. Joining me this evening is Mr. James Fox. How are you, James?
I'm good. What's up?
This mad scramble to get this thing done. Holy cow. So just so you guys know, before we really get into this thing, this whole thing here, apparently our streaming service just decided to stop working tonight and, would not initialize and put a video up on the screen. So I have no idea what the heck happened, but, here we are. We are here for a night of Future Sox Podcast.
Yeah.
That's here
the
we
first
are.
First EV Mux issue, I think, right?
Yeah, first one we've ever had, and that was pretty wild. So here we are. We see you in the chat. Thanks for hopping in, guys. Sorry we're late. All right, James. Well, the White Sox managed to go to Baltimore and get their butts kicked. I mean, they didn't really lose by a whole lot. I mean, it was pretty close games for the most part, but it was pretty sad happenings in general.
Yeah, they like rarely lose by a whole lot. I mean, it's like more watchable, but it's just like boring generally because they like when you just have a bad offense, ugh, it's just like terrible to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you lose by a run or two every day. I imagine that's got to wear on you. And, hopefully we'll see them at least at some point start, putting some runs across the board again, because, it's been a pretty sad last week for the most part.
Well, and as positive as the Miguel Vargas story has been, like he struggled for a few days and they haven't done anything, it's basically just, what Mike Talkman's been great. And it just like doesn't really matter because they only have like one or two guys that hit ever.
Yeah, it's when you're relying on one guy or very timely hitting and most of the team can't really hit all that well, I don't know. You're gonna struggle pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean offense costs money. I mean it's just kind of one of those things.
Yeah. There's not really with the actual White Sox club in the last week. One fun thing to talk about, how about that Kobe Mayo play at first base over there yesterday?
Yeah, I know. Hilarious. Like, and that dude's been up like three times for, a couple of weeks at a time and hasn't really hit. I mean, that's a guy that they refused to trade for, like, a big-name pitcher ever. And he might be good if you gave him, like, 1,000 at-bats or something. But it just, like, doesn't seem like they have any interest in giving him, like, extended run. But they also don't have any interest in trading him, which... Man, it's just a questionable decision making by that front office.
Yeah, it's been pretty rough. The entire holding on of prospects, and then when you finally try and bring them up and they don't pop right away, which I understand that they're pushing pretty hard because they're supposed to be really good, but when you watch them play, you realize why they're losing, because it's all sorts of like little mistakes that they're making here and there that are just compiling, and then they're just not hitting as well as they were hoping that they would.
No. And I don't know what happened. Like Adley Rutschman was supposed to be like a superstar and he's not.
Yeah, he's been on the struggle bus. At least they've got Jackson Holliday up, and he's at least hitting like a semi-productive major leaguer, which is something that he couldn't say last year when they brought him up early.
Yeah, no, he looks like he's going to be pretty good. You know, they just have like a ton of high picks, but a lot of them play corners, like their first baseman. So, and they definitely didn't have enough pitching. I mean, that's like a real contender that came into the year with Tomoyuki Sugano, who went today?
The I don't even, four, I don't even remember. 40,
41 year old Charlie Morton.
Oh yeah, Charlie Morton.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and then they had Kyle Gibson, who they've like already cut. I just like that's like not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we said right from the beginning, that they were doing themselves a disservice by not going out and acquiring pitching. So, I mean,
they couldn't trade for Garrett Crochet and extend him. I think they could have, you know, I just like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Could, I mean, you would think anyway. Let me go ahead here. I'm going to up this, I'm going to make some changes here on this here stream. Try and get these warnings to go away. We'll see what happens. I don't know. This is a real interesting interesting stream that we're having here.
The weird setup here. Yeah, it's like bizarro stream.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks exactly the same. It's just a little I mean, you get some of the nice bells and whistles with this program, but it's not as simple. I can't bring up chat windows and all that stuff, so you know, bear with us on that part. Hopefully by next week everything will be back up and running correctly.
Gosh, I hope so.
Yeah, so I misspoke on my tweet earlier today, and I said that you had already released your mock draft.
You have not released your mock draft. No, but I could still talk about it for
let's go ahead and do that, because I see that there's some college talk in the chat here. Hey Trey, how you doing? So I've been paying attention to the tournament that's been going on.
Yeah.
But I've kind of spaced on prospects this year, just because like we're at 10. I know that we're going to get somebody pretty decent. You know, there's going to be some talent there at 10. I just don't know what exactly I should be looking at here coming to the White Sox at 10.
Yeah. And I think like there's been a bunch of mocks, and guys like Kylie McDaniel have said that like, there are like some in the industry that think that there's like what, 10 players? Not that those are the only 10 players, but that there's kind of like a consensus 10. So maybe the White Sox are in the spot where they just like take the guy that's left, right? But we have no idea if they actually agree, or if they think, you know, there's 12 or 13 guys, right? And I think if you wanted to say, hey, these are the top 10 guys, just take the guy that's left. I mean, that sounds fine. But they'd have to be willing to take pitching. And I don't know, you know, I'm not going to make the same mistake I did last year, where I just said like, oh, it's definitely going to be a position player, because I have no idea. But it seems like they would like it to be a shortstop. I think they would like one of, you know, somebody to fall to them. I don't know how realistic that is. So I think, you know, the top, I mean, it does seem like Ethan Holliday is very much the favorite to go one. But you know as well as anybody, like a lot of this is determined by money, and there's no reason for him to take that much of a discount, because the lowest he's going to fall is 4 to Colorado, and they'll probably go over slot to take him, right? I mean, especially since like his father played there, like that's kind of the dream for Colorado. You know, like they could pay him over $9 million to go 4. So there's a lot of rumors about Eli Willits, who's like one of the youngest players in the class, 17. He reclassified high school out of Oklahoma. So there's rumors that he could be the Nationals like backup at 1. And there's, you know, there's mocks that have put him there. So that would be interesting. And then there's a whole bunch of, there's 5 college pitchers who, or actually, no, that's not right. There's 4 college pitchers who I think a lot of people think could go in the top 10. So Liam Doyle of Tennessee, Jamie Arnold of Florida State, and then Cade Anderson has kind of popped in here as like a top 10 prospect. He's a lefty from LSU. And then there's Kyson Witherspoon from Oklahoma. So he's interesting because he could be in the mix for the White Sox at 10. That's not the direction I went, but you know, I think if they took the righty from Oklahoma, like it wouldn't be terribly surprising at this point. And I can do more, but you know, we can kind of talk about that to start.
Well, since we don't have, I can't bring up the comments here. I want to thank Trey. He dropped in a super chat here. He says the return of Tanner McDougal. Yes, sir. That, you know, he's looked absolutely fantastic as of late. Yeah, so good.
He heard everybody talking about how he was going to be a reliever.
Yeah, I mean.
And he still might be. Probably. He looks pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just his stuff is just so nasty. And he didn't walk anybody. He's really, really cut down on his walks. And that's something he's been working really hard on. That and cutting down on the big blow-up innings. And they haven't been happening. And lo and behold, we have a guy here who's just shoving every time he pitches. So.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny for the people that are like, oh, if you put Grant Taylor in the bullpen, he would be unbelievable, like, which is true, obviously, right? But, like, Tanner McDougal is, like, the same type of thing. Yeah. There's a bunch of guys like that. Oh, if you, like, let him throw one inning and throw two pitches, he'd be great? Shocker. Like, that's basically, like, every reliever ever. Like, they're failed starters.
Yeah, the Grant Taylor thing, I mean, of course he looks fantastic out of the bullpen, but I mean, obviously I'd rather that he not be there, but if, you know, if that's how they plan on rolling it out, then you know, hopefully they follow the same plan that Crochet took this year or last year when he just said, hey, I'm gonna start starting, and we'll see
for sure.
So getting back to the college stuff, comments in the chat here that they better not take another left-handed pitcher, or Trey's gonna have some mental issues that he's gonna have to try and get back from. James.
I'd be kind of surprised. So there's three college lefties. I think they're all gonna be gone. So they have been linked to like a lefty pitcher, the high school kid out of Oregon, Cruz Schoolcraft.
Mm.
But I don't think they'd take him over like some other guys that are going to be on the board there. Like Kylie McDaniel in one of his mocks said that they're linked to him, but he seems like a backup plan. But Kylie McDaniel also linked them to Jace LaViolette last, like a couple weeks ago. And now that doesn't seem feasible with how he's played essentially.
Yeah. The guy out of Purvis in Mississippi.
Oh yeah. JoJo Parker. Yeah.
Yeah. He was recently linked to him and seems like,
I have JoJo Parker going 7 to the Marlins, because I have Billy Carlson and Eli Willits off the board, and I think the Marlins are taking a prep infielder. So Iva Arquette is the top college position player. He'll go in the top 10, but he might be the only college position player that goes in the top 10. And then the most fascinating storyline to me, I think Seth Hernandez is the best player in the entire class, but he's a righty. He's a high school righty. So, look, this could be the year that he just goes up and goes super high because he's awesome. But there's lots of teams who just won't do it, as we kind of talk about every year. So I think that's kind of interesting. So essentially right now for the White Sox, like unless, you know, a Billy Carlson falls or, you know, it's easy, right? That's easy. Iva Arquette falls, that would be easy. Even I think they'd probably take Seth Hernandez if he were on the board. I think it's Kyson Witherspoon, the righty from Oklahoma, or one of the prep shortstops that isn't Billy Carlson. I think those are like the most likely options. And then on the college side, they have high-level decision makers who really like Merrick Houston from Wake Forest. And look, he's a definite shortstop. He hit 14 homers. He wasn't as good as in SEC play. So this isn't like a Jacob Gonzalez because he's like a really good athlete that's definitely going to stay at short. But I think that's still pretty underwhelming, like at 10. So I kind of hope, like, you know, to me, the like, if Billy Carlson fell to them, I think that's super easy and clean. But other than that, I mean, the guys that you've seen linked to them, JoJo Parker from Mississippi, there's Steele Hall is another reclassified shortstop out of Alabama. And then, like, Kason Cunningham was mentioned too. So the issue with, like, Cunningham, he's a good hitter out of Texas, but he's probably a second baseman. And then even JoJo Parker probably isn't a shortstop. So, like, he could really hit, but he's probably going to move to third. So for anybody that's, like, listening, and this might not be out till Tuesday because it's taking me forever, but I have the White Sox taking Daniel Pierce, who's a high school shortstop out of Georgia. And he's, you know, it's not one huge tool, but he's a definite shortstop, you know, probably 12 to 15 homer potential, really fast. Coach's kid, his dad is like his high school coach at Georgia. So, you know, you see all this stuff about, you know, like gamer and high character and like all that stuff, right? But I think they would like to prioritize somebody that's definitely going to play shortstop. So, you know, like they take a JoJo Parker, it'll be exciting. It's just, you know, you're always talking about how he's probably going to like end up at third or second or somewhere else.
So got a question here about Brandon Summerhill.
Yeah.
Do you think he goes that early in top 10?
So there's like a wild rumor right now that he's the super underslot, quick to the majors college guy for the Angels at 2. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. I do think he's like a top 15 player in the class. It kind of depends on whether or not you think he can play center field or not. If you think he can play center field, then he's definitely like a top 15 pick. If he's a corner, though, like the bat's pretty good, but it's not like a huge power. So he's like a bit of a tweener. He is a Illinois kid, though. He's a Whitney Young kid. He's at Arizona.
Yeah, that part I knew. I did not.
So I've seen him. I've seen him in the, you know, he's going to go 10 to 20 somewhere in there. And probably, you know, I've seen him linked to the Cubs. I've seen, you know, some of those other teams like the Giants and lots of teams that take college bats like in the teens, basically. That's where he'll be. I would think if the White Sox did that, it would be like at a discount to go high school later multiple times. And it is early. I mean, we're 6 weeks out.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another one. What is it? Where did it go?
And we are going to have like, we are going to have guests like on to like talk about all this stuff. Like, you know, I'm already trying to line some up.
Cool. Left-handed pitcher from Glenwood. Do you know who that is?
Oh yeah. Cameron Appenzoller.
Oh,
he's
okay.
From
heard the
Chatham,
name.
Chatham Glenwood. Yeah. He's actually, I don't know that he's like falling, but he hasn't had like a great spring. And he was one of the guys who was seen as like the top pitcher in Illinois coming into the season. So the Sox know him well. He was on their area codes team. He's number 49 at Pipeline right now. So 6'6", 180-pound lefty. So I think the issue is that he's a Tennessee commit. And at this point, like, unless he gets paid like a ton, like it probably makes more sense for him to go to Tennessee. So I would think he would need like $3 million or so. And I don't know, maybe somebody does that.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's, you know, you have Jack Bauer from here as well. So like, you know, two Illinois pitchers, there is some Illinois talent though. So Jaden Foskey is a catcher from Nazareth Academy, who's an outfielder. He had a ton of heat in to see him this week. So he's an option for the White Sox, definitely at 44, because he can really hit, and he's probably going to play center field as a professional. But they're like Kylie McDaniel had him 37 to the Rays in his latest, so he might not even make it to their next pick. And then there's an infielder, Ethan Moore, I think, from Oak Park River Forest. So there's quite a few Illinois kids.
And you got the other kid that across the way from Jack Bauer at the other Lincoln Way as well.
Yes, Connor Essenberg.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, and I think he's a Kentucky commit, so...
I think that sounds right.
Yeah. So, and he, look, I think he wants to pitch, but teams think he's a hitter. Yeah, I mean, look, the White Sox are always all over local guys. I think they'd love to take multiple prep guys. You know, I do know that, like, with the asking price of some of the college guys, like, in, like, asking prices aren't firm at this point, but, like, when these guys are just, like, able to transfer and get a little bit of money to go somewhere else, like, they become more expensive. Like, you can't just, you know, in the third round, you got guys asking for more money than they should be. That maybe puts high school guys back in play, because there's a lot of colleges who, you know, they'll just go get a guy out of the portal, like, instead of a high school kid, right? So then maybe a high school kid's more likely to take $900,000 and turn pro instead of going to college and sitting, you know, and then finally getting to play potentially.
Yeah, I guess it all depends on what you think you can get in the NIL portion, you know, portion of that whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Bell last year from Lincoln Way East, right? He got drafted by the Rays. He didn't sign. The rumor is that the Rays offered, I don't know what they offered, but something like 1.6, 1.7, something like that. And I think he was getting 700,000 or something to go to Kentucky. So he just went to Kentucky because, like, I think he's going to be sophomore eligible, so he could be in next year's draft anyway. So all he's got to do is make $800,000 next year, right? And it's, you know, basically break even.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, especially, you know, if a college is willing to give you the NIL and somebody wants to draft you and give you under $1 million, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to take just $1 million to do this.
No, it doesn't at all. Exactly. But you do have to take into consideration, like, are you going to go to school and sit, right? Or do you, like, if you have a spot to play, I mean, by all means, like, go, you know? And I think it's different for pitchers, too. Like, if you're a pitcher and somebody's going to give you $3 million, like, you probably need to go.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be a this whole portal thing is royally screwing everything
well,
up.
Well, and now you've seen it, like a guy like Caleb Bonimer, right? Like, we've talked a lot about the changes to the minor leagues. Like, I didn't have it on my bingo card that, you know, Caleb Bonimer was going to go to Kannapolis and post a 150 plus WRC plus, right? But I do think it opens the door for prep guys to play in low A, like, the season after they're drafted, which might change the calculus a little bit. Like, you're not sitting in rookie ball for a year and a half anymore, because, like, the guys that are in Arizona and Florida playing in rookie ball are, you know, like, guys that were playing in the Dominican Republic a year previously, generally, or, you know, you sign 24 and 25 year old guys that are, you know, kind of just like trying to keep living the dream, right? Those are your Arizona League teams for the most part. So most prospects are in low A because that league is, I don't know, it's worse, like, too harsh to say it's like the worst it's ever been. It's just not as advanced as A-ball used to be. So maybe that helps, like, because you're just, like, not in the minor leagues for as long as you used to be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The Vanderbilt getting beaten by Wright State and only having one hit through the first eight innings of the game was that was something.
I know. It's crazy. So I will say, like, so looking at, like, so my mock, like, I can release. So Daniel Pierce, like, you know, you take one of these high school shortstops, okay, at 10. And then you come back at 44 and you take another one. Let's say they've slide the Nazareth outfielder Jaden Foskey to them in the second, right? Well, like, after the draft, when you and I have these conversations on the podcast, I think I would just kind of assume at that point that both of those guys would start next season in Kannapolis, you know, instead of just thinking that they're going to, like, go die in rookie ball for, I mean, obviously, like, the rest of this year, we're not going to have much, right? We're just going to have backfield stuff on, like, a couple of dudes in rookie ball. But I think for next season, like, I think the expectation would be that premium high school guys like that would be going to low A now.
Hmm. Yeah, that's kind of bonkers. I mean, you know, it's the one thing, you know, we're wondering if Caleb Bonimer was even going to go to Kannapolis until, like, mid-year.
I know. And then he was on the roster, and now he's killing it.
Yeah, he's the best hitter on the team, except for Javier Mogollon, who's been out for the last couple of weeks. So that offense has been on the struggle bus.
So what do you think about, like, you know, so I do think that, like getting a college player to line up with their current core, like makes some sense, but you also can't just like reach for a guy just to do that, especially with what they did a couple of years. You know what I mean? Like if you love Merrick Houston and you think he's athletic and he's definitely going to stay at short and you think there's like 20 home run power, like, okay, like I understand that, but you have to be right. It's the same thing with a Summerhill or, you know, like if you can, so their slot is like 6.2 million, I think at 10. Like if you can get one of these college guys to take 5.5 and you pocket 700,000 for later, I think that could make some sense. Or you just take one of the four prep shortstops because it's probably a better plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know. So my issue comes here is that when you're talking about prep hitters is that you're taking a gamble that they're going to continue to develop as a hitter. And I mean, as we've seen, Bonnemer has done it. Connor Griffin's done it. Bryce Rayner's done it. But then you see guys like Arjun Namala, who was taken high a few years ago, and he fell on his face for like a full year. And he's finally starting to kind of get his luster back after, you know, falling off the top 100s in some places.
For sure.
So it's a that is a conundrum for sure.
But you also don't want to take, and this is going to sound like harsh, right? But like Braden Shumake was a first round pick after being a college shortstop defender type guy, you know,
he's
like
your guy,
super fast. There's just a whole bunch of these like generally college shortstops, like the good shortstops get drafted out of high school. It's just very rare that you're, you know, these college shortstops like go to the league and they're like great, because it's just not that common. Like they usually go pro prior to that. So for me, like if you're going to go college, like at 10, like I'd probably like, you want to take the chance on Summerhill, or I would have loved for LaViolette to have like a slightly better season, because like that makes a lot of sense to me, because they need power. I think it's an easy sell. Like you think Jace LaViolette, you know, like pressed a little bit for a struggling team. He's a definite center fielder. He's got left-handed power. Okay, fine. You can sell me on it. But he just strikes out way too much to, I mean, it's like the stuff we were saying about Vance Honeycutt. It's just never translated before. So why would it this time?
Yeah. Yeah, that is for sure. I'm going to bring up some stuff here from the chat. To answer, so David asked, how bad is the Colson Montgomery injury? I mean,
well,
he got hit.
They said day-to-day. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he got hit directly in the kneecap. That hurts a lot. And that's going to take a few days to come back. I mean, he did walk off on his, you know, under his own power. It just
and we'd know.
Limping.
I mean, you'd know the next day if it was like a broken kneecap or something, he'd be done, you know. But it's not, so he's. I think he's okay. He's just got to come back and prove that his success for like a week wasn't a blip. And then I think, you know, the White Sox would love to finish the year with him in Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, if he can manage to continue to hold on to that. 150 WRC plus that he was sporting for a couple of weeks there, then absolutely, only makes sense. There's also some tears being shed over Miles Bailey, which,
oh my God, I know. Like I just like don't think that was ever possible, because I think he was always going to school. But like, I mean, maybe like the relationship can benefit them.
Yeah, I mean. Let's hope. I mean, I don't know that what we got to wait until after next season.
Yeah, and I don't know for sure that he is sophomore, one of these sophomore eligible guys. Like, I don't know when his birthday was. I'd have to, like, look and study and find out. But, yeah, like, at the earliest, he's a 2026 out of Florida State.
Yeah.
Is he playing first base or outfield for them?
I thought it was third base.
Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty positive he was playing third base.
You know that one of the high school kids in this class that's like really rising is like one of the young Delman Young's kid, I think, or
no
Dimitri Young's kid. Here, Quentin Young is the 30th ranked prospect in the class at MLB Pipeline. He's 6'5", 215.
Huh.
So he's the nephew of Dimitri and Delman Young.
That's crazy. So he's going to throw a bat at an umpire?
Yeah. So he was also supposed to be in 2026 and reclassified to join this year's group. But he's had a whole bunch of wood bat success, a whole bunch of power, obviously, 60 power, 60 arm. So yeah, he's going to go pretty early too.
Interesting. I did not know
high school,
that one.
So the high school class is really, really good, but like the draft is down as a whole because there's not college bats. Like the previous couple of years that we've done this, it's like, you know, college bats always rise to the top for this because they're safe, but there are none this time, you know, like there's just guys who, you know, even like I think I was listening to Carlos Collazo and somebody else and some scouts had said, like, even like Iva Arquette would have been like the 16th or 17th player last year. And that's the top college position player on the board. Like he would have been in the same range as the Cam Smith, the Florida State third baseman the Cubs took and traded to Houston. And he was like the 16th pick, I think. So all those other dudes that we had talked about all year, your Braden Montgomery's and, all the other guys that went like up in that range are all, you know, basically better prospects than the top college guys in this year's class.
It's got a question in here about Ethan Moore from Oak Park.
Yeah, so I don't know a ton about him. I don't even know like whether or not he's signable. But I mean, look, he's from OPRF, the Sox know all about him. So Jaden Fauske from Naz, who I was talking about, is ranked 65th on Pipeline, but Keith Law has him like in his top like 40, I think. And Kylie McDaniel had him going 37 to the Rays. Let me see like if I can quickly find. Yeah, Ethan Moore is 91 on MLB Pipeline. Shortstop, second base, switch hitter. He's 6 foot 190. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Like Callis's write-up says that Moore might be the best Illinois high school hitter since Alec Thomas went in the second round in 2018. Like I've heard from people that Fauske's the best hitter since Alec Thomas. So who knows, right? Like I don't know.
Yeah, it's the old opinion thing, you know. Everybody's got one.
But he did do well. So he hit 360 like on the showcase circuit. Didn't strike out very often. But he wasn't great this spring, I guess. But look, I mean, we've seen this happen. Like you've been to a lot of Illinois high school games this year, like lower level ones too. I mean, they just like the best players walk, and then a lot of times they get anxious and they start swinging at bad pitches, and like it's just kind of. I mean, I heard like Caleb Bonnemer's spring in Michigan last year was just like stupid because he knows like he's the one on the team that's like trying to drive in runs, right? So it's like, oh, why is he swinging at these outside pitches? It's like, well, because his job's to drive in runs, like, you know, and other teams are not going to let him do that because he's going to be playing in low A next year. So, you know, like, why would other coaches let him hit?
Yep. And, you know, it's like, and then the kid gets a complex and he's, you know, trying to murder the ball to the left field. And then you end up with Colson Wolko, you know, kind of thing where just, you know, pull side, you know, rolling over and stuff. And then poof goes your stats.
Right. I mean, like I coach high school football, not baseball. And like, I'm sorry. Like I would walk that guy. Like if I knew he was like, you know, like if I'm playing a team and Jared Kelenic is in high school playing, like I'm walking him. Like, I'm not going to, why would I face that guy?
Yep. And, you know, speaking of power, you know, it's like White Sox drafted Hagen because they thought that was going to be their drafting win, you know, that they'd be able to develop him because they've developed left-handed pitchers. And then, you know, me and you were sitting there, you know, afraid to take a first baseman, and Jack is just absolutely destroying the baseball.
He's a stud, but have you seen Connor Griffin? He's awesome too.
He really is.
And I kind of feel like with everything we've heard, don't you think Griffin is the guy that the scouts kind of wanted to take? To me, it just seems like there was like the whole thing, right? And it seems like, look, and I railed for years and years about Kenny Williams like walking in a draft room and like making a pick, right? And not letting his people do their jobs. I I get it a little bit last year if Chris Getz was, you know, I'm making my first pick, like, as a GM, and, you know, there's no Ryan Fuller at that time, and he sees all the scouting reports on Hagen, and he's like, this guy will be here in a year and a half, and he's like, I totally get it. I just think that me and others heard way too much about Connor Griffin for that to, like, not be real. And it's not like he was asking for too much money because they overslotted Hagen. I just, yeah. Like, so, I mean, Connor Griffin was going to be like this. And look, he's in, like, low A, I think, still, or he might be in high A now. I thought that dude was either going to bust hard or be a superstar. And, you know, we'll see once he gets to double A, like, if something catches up with him. But he just, you know, looks unbelievable.
Uncle Ted says he's going to suck. So,
Connor Griffin?
We're good. Yes.
Well, it's because he hits right-handed. He doesn't like righties.
I see, you know his type.
He probably would have taken Jack Kags. And look, we're probably wrong. Like, he might be awesome.
Oh, come on, man. He says, I mean, Tamar Johnson will be better. Come on, dude. Than Connor Griffin.
Dude, Tamar Johnson, he would have been in the big leagues already, if that were true.
He said, yeah, of course I would take Jack.
The Pirates, like, hitting development has been rough.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably going to get that GM fired because their pitching dev is awesome. And, yeah, I mean, you have Paul Skeens. Like, he would have been awesome no matter what, right? But, yeah. But you have, like, all these other success stories. And you took Henry Davis with a number one pick. They just, like, have no position players.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we know what that's like, you know.
We know exactly what that's like. So, what do you think about? And I know it's like 6 weeks out, and we have, like, if you get to 10, and, like, the clear best player on the board is one of these college pitchers, like, do you take them? Like, I don't. I'm just gonna, like, throw my hands up and be like, okay, well, here's another awesome pitcher that can't miss, and then their mechanics are off, and they're getting biomechanic work and not pitching.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario, you know. I feel for Getz in that way, because, you know, if he had taken Jack and Jack was striking out at a 40% clip because he's chasing everything, which, I mean, he's not now, but had he come to the White Sox,
right.
You know, and I'm not even saying that the White Sox development team couldn't have done the same thing that the Royals development team has done with him, or that they even did anything with him, and he might just do this anyway. But just because I, as a White Sox fan, mm-hmm. I know how this story goes, that he's going to come here to the White Sox and he's going to strike out 40% of the time, and then Hagen is going to be somewhere else, and he's going to be striking out 8-9 guys a game.
St. Louis, even, probably, yeah.
Yeah, even if he gets injured, they're still going to say, you drafted this K machine, and over at the other team, the guy that we were talking about drafting, now he's striking everybody out. Our GM sucks. I mean, like, you literally cannot win that scenario at all. I mean, it's impossible. So same thing, you know?
So I mean, picking 10, right? So, like, Liam Doyle, the lefty from Tennessee, Jamie Arnold, lefty from Florida State, Cade Anderson, the lefty from LSU. Those guys are all going to be gone. Like, they're just college starters, quick to the big leagues, like, they're going to be gone. Obviously, like, Ethan Holliday is, like, a lock to be gone. I think Eli Willits, the other shortstop from the high school shortstop, is gone. Yeah, I mean, I pegged him months ago. Like, I didn't know that he'd be in the 1-1 conversation. I just kind of like super young dudes with bloodlines who play shortstop. I mean, it wasn't really that hard, but yeah. So, like, that's like five guys that are basically going to be off the board, and I'd be pretty surprised if Ava Arquette were on the board. So that's six. Seth Hernandez, I'd be excited about. So, I mean, really, like, what we're talking about here is, like, if there are like 10 of these guys who, you know, because even, like, I think if it's Billy Carlson, we're fine with it. If it's Seth Hernandez, you're fine with it. So you really just need one surprise somewhere. You need somebody to have an underslot surprise, like an Ike Irish, the catcher out of Auburn, or Brendan Summerhill, or, you know, whatever. Like, somebody who's in the top 10, then I think you just, like, take the player that's left.
Yeah, I mean, if the Angels do what they do,
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, it's going to be some guy that's, you know, a junior in college, but he's hitting like 350, and they think that he can move straight into their batting order within the next 2 months, you know?
And Miami's non-traditional, you know, at seven, that could be a high school guy who is like ranked in the teens or the 20s. They did that last year, you know, where they took a guy that was kind of surprising. So, yeah, I mean, I think like Billy Carlson's an easy sell. Even JoJo Parker, you know, isn't a shortstop, but that's an easy one, right? It's a premium. It's like a bottom, basically. But a guy with a much better track record and a left-handed bat. You know, I think the issue arises if Kyson Witherspoon, the righty from Oklahoma, is like the clear top player on the board. Like, what are you doing? You know, like, I don't know. I think they'd still like to go bat.
James Hesterman says, sorry, it's Laviolette or Summerhill. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I'd like to see visits, you know, who gets linked to them like later on in the process. But I mean, they know both those guys very, very well.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and shift gears here. I just want to get this one out of the way quick because it shouldn't be super long. The DSL is starting up this week. You're going to be dropping a piece on the website about it, but let's just go ahead and do like a quick thing, and then we can move on to the trade stuff and the minor league stuff because we are running 40 minutes right now, so I don't want to be on for an hour and 45 minutes. So
no, definitely not. Yeah, so the I mean, the DSL preview is actually up on the website now. So
is it? Okay.
Yeah, and it's a lot of, you know, it's mostly guys from this year's class who they just signed. We don't know a ton about any of them, obviously. I mean, we had a conversation with Ben Badler that I've linked to in that piece. Alejandro Cruz of Cuba, the 18-year-old third baseman, he's their biggest prospect there. Eduardo Herrera, they signed for $1.8 million last year out of Venezuela, was supposed to have this like premium power potential, and he was dreadful. So he's repeating. There's three or four guys that are repeating, but the rest of the team is pretty much from this signing class. I'm curious to get stats on Orlando Patino. That's the guy who they stole from the Dodgers, like after all the rookie Sasaki madness. So, you know, he's an outfielder that's interesting. You know, a couple of interesting infielders. And then on the pitching side, they have Yobel Rodriguez, who's a 17-year-old Cuban. So that's interesting for anybody. Baseball America subscribers, supposedly Monday, Ben Badler has all the international reviews up and like a extensive DSL preview.
Alrighty then. I mean, I don't have much to say on the DSL. I never really do because, you know, I know the names and what the write-ups say, but until I see him playing.
Loud tools are good, right? It's why, like, we were excited about Yoiker Fajardo last year.
Yep.
Because it's, like, that many strikeouts down there is, like, something you know, homers, Ks, everybody down there walks, so it's, like, guys have, like, 22% walk rates, but because the pitching's horrendous. So, yeah, it's just kind of, I mean, like, look, Alejandro Cruz, if he's as good and polished as, like, he should be as an 18-year-old that's coming over from Cuba, like he should be pretty good in the DSL.
Yeah. So I am looking. I just because we were talking about it, I figured I would take a look at Yoiker Fajardo's numbers.
Is he in low A?
No, he is just in the FCL.
Okay.
And I'm looking at, okay, so he's pitched four times. He has started all four times. He has 13 innings. He has a 0.69 ERA and a 0.85 WHIP.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's probably going to be pretty good. He's just really far away.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, I understand what they were doing, like, with Cam Buescher. Like, I think his FIP is way better than his ERA. I mean, he's just given up some bombs. But, I mean, I think they're going to be able to trade Cam Buescher and get something decent because he throws hard and he throws left-handed.
James says, Patino, forget about the Patty guys. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, but
that is fair. I mean, him and Yobel Rodriguez are both David Keller signings. Like, Rodriguez was signed, like, in December. And he's another Cuban, right? So, like, I think we all kind of scoff at this point when it's, like, another Cuban. But he's a 17-year-old pitcher, so.
Yep. All right, so let's move on to the Major League trade deadline stuff that, you know, obviously we're way far off from the deadline. But Mark Feinsand did put a report up about Davis Martin being a possible trade piece for the White Sox coming up towards the trade deadline here. Your thoughts on Davis getting moved? I mean, we've been talking about it for literally like 6 months at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be their biggest trade piece. And I do think, like, they're not going to give him away. It's 4 years of control. I mean, he's 28, so he's very likely not going to be like a huge factor on their next good team, which is the reason why you do it. But I'm not doing it unless I get like two pretty good prospects and another guy. It's 4 years of control of a number four. I mean, even if like Davis Martin kind of settles in as this and he's like a four starter, you know, he's like a 3.7 ERA type guy, you know, who can pitch like a two occasionally. I mean, that's like, don't you think the Cubs would like to have a guy like that? Like right now, like, and there were, I mean, there's like a ton of teams that would love to have
a guy 4 years, throws 97 and misses bats. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 4 years of Davis Martin, you know, like the K totals aren't there, but there's always teams who think that they can, you know, tinker. So I would not be, I mean, I think the White Sox would love to move him because that means you're getting like three young guys like into your system. And look, I think they kind of think, between Cannon and Mason Adams and Thorpe and their whole pile of guys, like they can figure out a 4-5 in their rotation. So yeah, I think they, you know, does he go with Boozer somewhere? You know, I think Mike Tauchman is a, and he's a rental, right? So like, what do you get for Mike Tauchman? Like, you know, a similar return that you got for Tanner Banks last year, you know, like Bergola, like a Bergoglia type, you know, probably for Mike Tauchman, but like Mike Tauchman can help somebody.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I'm looking it up really quick. Cause somebody did mention that he's got, does have something, let's see here. I mean, he's only, yeah, he's only signed through this year. He's ARB 3 for next year.
Who?
Mike Tauchman.
Oh, so he does have another year technically.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so they could so somebody could tender him.
So I mean, 33. Okay, so that is a that is an extra year that you could possibly, you know, keep him around for a decent amount of money.
Yeah, that's helpful actually. So that he was non-tendered and then signed to a 1 year deal. But yeah, he still that stays. So he's still ARB eligible essentially. Interesting. So somebody could get like a second year out of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, again, he's, you know, you're talking about that pinch hitter off the bench that gives you quality at bats, and you can. Yeah. Oh, Kegs just got called up.
Which yeah, is my interesting. Bet. So last week I bet Kegs to win American League Rookie of the Year because he's 60-1.
That's a good bet.
Yeah, it's so really stupid. I was like, what are we doing here, guys? Like.
Yeah, that's worth.
I mean, he's not anymore, but he was at the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's worth. I mean,
if that dude comes up and hits 25 bombs,
oh yeah, he's
winning it.
Yeah, there's not anybody right now that you're.
I think the favorite is the shortstop in Oakland.
Yeah, Eric. Not Eric Young. What is it?
Yeah, Young though, right? Or no, he was the sixth pick a couple years ago out of Grand Canyon. I forget what his name is. Yeah.
But yeah, Jacob Wilson, good, that's what it is.
Good, yeah, good player.
Yeah, no, yeah, but he's just a single
not merchant. Gonna hit 20, not gonna, and look, dude, I'm sorry, but like sex appeal, right? Like everybody loves big power hitting mashers. Like that's what it'll matter. Like if the Royals like get back into this race because Jack Caglino just hits tanks, he'll win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Wilson's got 7 home runs, but I mean, let's.
That's interesting. That's good. I mean, people
yeah,
thought
that's good.
People
for,
thought he had like 30 power. I mean, that's
yeah, that's good for what he
like
does.
A pretty good pick.
But
yeah.
If Jack comes up and hits 25 to 30 home runs, there's just I don't care what Wilson does. It's just not going to matter.
Yeah, so I've been like, so this is like back to like the White Sox potential trade targets. So I've been like, earlier in this year, I was like kind of mean to someone that's like in their bullpen. Brandon Eichert's good.
He's got, I mean,
like
I think
his, so look at, if you look at his numbers on FanGraphs, right? So if you're like one of these data teams and you're like, ooh, like this guy's young and left-handed with like control, like his expected stats are awesome. I mean, yeah, like we've watched him like blow some games. So it's like, ah, this guy, but it's the same thing with Boeser, right? Like if that's like the third lefty out of a contender's bullpen, the guy's great. But yeah, the White Sox are like pitching everybody in high leverage.
Yeah, that's the issue. Is that if you bring him in with like a 4-run lead, you're gonna leave with probably a 3-run lead or whatever, just to fill guys who are popping in right now. We do not have access to chat. I see your chat, but I can't bring your chat up. But we see that you are saying stuff down there, so I'm reading them. I'll get to him when I can. You know how that goes. Server issues, blah blah.
Yeah, that was weird tonight. Like, I don't know.
Not fun. That
never really happened.
That 20 minutes of anxiety trying to get the thing up and running.
Yeah, we're not that important. It's okay. So Eichert has a 4.88 ERA with a 3.02 expected ERA, and his xFIP is 3.34. But the big thing is it's 11 Ks per nine, and he's only walking 2.25 per nine. So he's been pretty solid.
Yeah, it's one of those things where everything's under a magnifying glass right now for the White Sox, and literally any run that a pitcher gives up is like you're staring up a mountain because this team just does not score runs. So
yeah, the WHIP is 1.42. That's
not good.
But
yeah.
Yeah.
Too many base hits. But you know, if you give up two singles, it's not the end of the world. But you obviously want the number to be lower than that. So,
and he has two minor league options and 5 years of contract control.
Yeah, that's worth having. And I mean,
so that's where people shouldn't be surprised if, like, on trade deadline day, like, you get a prospect for Cam Boeser and Brandon Eichert. People are going to be like, what? It's like, well, I mean, you look at these teams' bullpens, like, there's just, you know, like, it's just some of these teams are running out way worse.
Yeah, and the plan from last year, which Tom brings up in the chat here, the singer for Porcupine Tree, Steven Wilson, should net the White Sox something, I would imagine, because he has definitely looked a lot better this year than last. So,
yeah, I know, Coffee has been struggling in his role in Charlotte, but I would think he gets some run after all these relievers get traded. Or is it just going to be Grant Taylor, Paulette, Freeman? Like, it's like the Grant Taylor show once all these guys get moved.
You know what? I have been on the Coffee bandwagon for like a couple of, you know, like 3 years or whatever. And
yeah, he's been good.
Yeah, I don't know. This year it's something's off right now. And I don't know what it is, but
pitching in Charlotte?
No, cuz I mean it doesn't matter where he's pitching. You know, he could go somewhere, you know, with you know, insane dimensions. It just doesn't matter. Like, he's just walking guys everywhere, and then he ends up giving up a home run. He blew two games this week to the point where I said to myself, you could say that one was coughed up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to
I mean, so here it is. I mean, he's got a 4.5 ERA in Charlotte. The FIP is, like, worse. So the FIP is 5.20.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not great. So it's 14 Ks per nine, but 6 per nine. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's
significantly more walks than he's ever had before.
Oh, you know what? Baseball asks if any updates on Michael Turner. I have not. You know what? I didn't ask him. I should message him and find out what happened. I kind of have an idea though that he probably like split a fingernail in half or something. Because he you know, he was bleeding all over the place. So my guess is that it's a either his fingernail got torn off or it got broken in half or something. So it's going to be a few days until he's putting a catcher's mitt on his hand again.
Yeah.
So
Cags is in Chicago this next weekend.
Hooray! Number one against the White Sox.
Tigers and Royals coming to town.
Ugh.
He definitely, like, first career homer against the Sox, right? That's happening?
Yeah. Let's see.
Friday night.
When's Cannon pitching?
Yeah, right. So who pitched today? Davis Martin? It wasn't. It was the new guy, Hauser, today.
Hauser, yes.
So then it's Shane Smith. No, they won't get Cannon. So it's Smith, Burke, and Cannon against Detroit. And then it'll be Martin and Smith against Kansas City. So I think he might get Davis Martin on Friday night. Sorry.
Yeah, he might. I mean, he'll give up a home run here and again. Yeah. So Adrian asks if Baldwin is the center fielder when Robert is gone. I mean, if it happens soon, we were actually talking about this before we got on because we had lots of time to talk while the thing was said it was initializing.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was a great show, the one you guys missed.
Oh my gosh.
The show before the show. Isn't that a podcast, the show before the show?
Yes, it's the minor league.
That's like an MLB,
the MLB's
pipeline one.
Yeah. MILB podcast.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Right. The show before the show.
It's a great podcast, actually.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, Burke is not pitching against the Royals, so he would definitely give up.
It won't be him.
Yeah, it won't be him. It'll be somebody, though, and you
actually,
know.
Actually, he is. He's pitching Sunday against them.
Oh, yeah, that's happening. Why don't we, I mean, we've only got so many trade people that we can talk about, and Robert's definitely one of them. He is not hitting, and your theory on what's going on with Robert, I have had the same thought, so why don't you go ahead and break that down?
Yeah, I just think he's broken, and I think the White Sox kind of broke him. And I think it's very easy for us to sit back and be like, you know, you should preach what I think the White Sox are preaching, and it's smart, right? I think, like, some guys have gotten better playing this way where they're looking at data and heat zones and all this stuff, right? And walk rates are up, and, like, they're swinging in zone. They're just not very good, right? But I think, like, Robert has done things his way for a long time. And I do think while his like walk rate is up, like he watched strike three today. Like, cause I don't think he can play baseball this way. And I think they kind of like messed with him because they thought that this might be the way to maximize him, like his career, right? Like if he takes to it, then yeah, sure. Like he would be a superstar. But, like, you need him to hit to trade him. Like, and it's, like, not working because I feel like he's, whatever it is, like, he, you know, the passive approach that he's taking comes with, like, a higher walk rate, but we don't see the three-week stretches of him just, like, murdering people. That has, like, not happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And I think they'll still be able to trade him. It's just we're not going to be happy with the return. Like, I don't see any way they pick up a $20 million option. So this will be, like, what can you get for him in July? And we're all just disappointed that, like, it came to this. But, I mean, you know, I've seen, like, they can't send him down. Like, I've had questions about, like, whether they could do what they did with Vaughn, like, or Montgomery. Like, no, they can't do that. Like, he's a big league player.
Yeah. And, you know, we also had a talk about the fact that, you know, like, you couldn't have traded him beforehand when Getz first became the GM, just because he would have gotten killed for it. But people probably would have been happier at this point than they would have been watching him struggle somewhere else, I guess. But
I mean, yes, in hindsight, I bet Chris Getz wishes he took a bad deal for him at the 2023 winter meetings. I think that's so far-fetched right now. Like, I think people are, like, misremembering this situation. Chris Getz becomes GM in September or whatever it was, right? Luis Robert's coming off his best season. We all literally thought, like, this dude just arrived. The White Sox have a superstar. Like, oh my God, he hired Scott Boras. We probably can't keep him long-term. But, like, when we trade this dude, we're going to get so much. So, like, he had 4 years of control in the winter of 2023. What do you think you're realistically getting for him? Pretty good. Pretty good package, probably. Multiple top 100 guys. Yep. Another top 10. An interesting. Like, do you get the Garrett Crochet return? Maybe. But I could argue that that's not enough of 4 years of Luis Robert coming off a 5-6 war season. So, you know, people are going to be like, what are you doing, Chris Getz? Like, trading the... So, like, I think it made sense to wait. Because I didn't think he was going to go in the tank like this. So obviously it hasn't worked out. It was a bad, I guess it was the wrong decision. But I don't think it's as easy as just being like, that should have traded him right away when he was good. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's like total, like, in hindsight.
Yeah. I mean, so there's a comment in the chat says, I just don't think he wants to be here. And I mean,
I don't think he does either, but like, he's got to play better to be gone.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, he's pushing to try and do that, but then he's also trying to be mindful of what he was working on with the staff. And it's just not working out well. And Adrian also mentions that, you know, who's going to sign him to his option. With the way he's been playing, unless he goes somewhere and goes absolutely out of his mind, that's the only way anybody's going to sign him for $20 million. So, like, what value is he going to hold when you're trading him? So, I mean, it's just difficult all the way around.
Yeah,
it's just a bad situation.
I don't know that anybody will pick it up, but I still think nobody's going to trade you a package that looks like a package for 3 years of Luis Robert. It's going to be like a rental Luis Robert. I will say, I mean, he's got like an 11% walk rate, which is the highest of his career. He's still striking out at a 31% clip. His BABIP is the lowest of his career at .245. So, like, there should be some positive regression coming. But, I mean, all of his value right now is coming on defense and, like, on the base paths.
Yep, I agree.
Like, all of it. I mean, yeah, I think he's... I mean, look, I think if, you know, you stuck him on the Phillies, like, would he look a little bit better? Like, yeah, probably. But, like, the White Sox have a really tough decision to make. Like, are you going to trade him for, like, a couple of decent prospects? I mean, I think in July, yes, you will, because you know that your owner is not going to pick up the tab on a $20 million option. But it doesn't make any sense to do it, like, today. You just freaking hope that over the next 8 weeks he hits at some point.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, you trade him for nothing and move on.
Yeah, it's just tough situation. Tom brings up, he says, Sosa is a free swinger doing okay. Don't know why they don't take the same approach to Robert. I mean, yeah, at this point, it would be preferable to what he's been doing as of late. You know, I mean, he'd still hit 240 or 250, and right now he's hitting like what, like 160?
Yeah, he is not doing that. It's like not great.
Caught in between, as you said.
But even Sosa, I mean, Sosa walks. He's got a 2% walk rate, like 2.5%.
But he leads in hits.
But he's better than Robert. He's got 0.6 F WAR, like, accumulated on the year. He's like a league average offensive player.
Yep.
94 WRC plus. He's not a great defender. But I mean, you know, Robert's been worse than that, and basically has 5 tools.
Yeah. It's pretty insane, really. So moving on to minor league stuff here. It's been a rough couple of weeks for offenses for the most part. So baseball's asking if Bonnemer stays in Canny the whole year. You think so? Because I think so.
I think at least until like after the draft, like maybe he goes to Winston to like finish there, but then I think he probably starts there next year too.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, if he, I don't know, if he continues, because like the problem is that Canny ends like what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks earlier than, trying to remember. If
no, there's, I mean, they're all the same. Charlotte's late. Charlotte ends with the big league club.
Barons are 1 week later, I think, than High A and A ball. So it really doesn't matter. Maybe if he continues.
I think they're gonna have drafted players though that they're gonna want in Kannapolis.
Yeah. So I mean, you bump him for a couple of weeks and see what he does after. You know, if I mean, assuming that he has like a 160. You know, like a 160 WRC plus come, you know, July, August.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is Kannapolis going to be like in contention, like in playoff contention?
They were in first place, but this week's been pretty rough.
So my guess is the White Sox would leave him down if there's like a playoff game too, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's possible.
But I mean, look, you take Merrick Houston in the first round, he's playing shortstop at Kannapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. You know?
I mean, unless you keep him there and just let him play shortstop at Winston, but, you know.
You could do that too.
We'll see.
Yeah. I guess, let me think here. I mean, I know who baseball wants me to talk about Braden Montgomery, and I'll get there. And I guess I'll probably do that last because I've got visual aids for that, so I'll just I'll hold off on that one. There have been a lot of slumps going in the last couple of weeks, and it's been a rough one. Wilco's been going through it. And I will say, like, his approach, I like the way his approach is going, is that he's hitting the ball back up the middle a lot and to opposite center as well, which is what I think that he needs to do. But right now, the results just have not happened for him yet. And it's not like he's not hitting the ball hard. I posted one the other day where he hit 106 miles an hour and it died. Like in center field, like 15, 20 feet short of being a home run, which is absurd. If you hit it 106 miles an hour, it should not do that. But, you know, like he's just having some bad luck, and there's no easy answer for that. You know, when he does hit the ball hard, he's hitting it right at people, and it's just not going well. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. And, I fully expect his numbers to start, picking up at some point here. It's just, we had that one good week, and that's been pretty much about it for the whole year so far. So here's a nice story, which Adrian brings up, Grant Umberger. He was signed out of the MLB Draft League. And he just went and struck out 11 guys in his because he just started yesterday, but the start before that, he struck out 11 guys, and guy was just out of his mind that day. And you know, like his last start now, he just struck out I think 3, so it's obviously a huge disparity. I don't know what to think of him, Adrian. What I do know though is that the times that he's pitched, he's been very good. It was a large disparity in how many strikeouts he had. I don't know how he had 11 strikeouts in one game, but he was unhittable that night. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, 23-year-old undrafted free agent that was like pitching in the draft league. Sox signed a lot of guys out of those types of leagues, and they've had some success with it. I mean, Tommy Vail was undrafted too, correct?
Yep.
You know, you've just had some. Drew McDaniel was undrafted. There's a whole bunch of these guys.
Yeah, I think thanks for stopping in, Mike. Appreciate it. Speaking of Tanner McDougal, his start, we've talked about him at multiple times. I know that that Trey brought him up earlier, but
yeah, the other night's probably the best he's ever looked.
Yeah, I have not seen. I mean, maybe in his playoff start last year, he looked that good. But what we're seeing now is the consistency that we've been waiting for. You know, it's.
Well, I think if you had to re-rank tomorrow, is he in the top 20?
Oh yeah,
I think he has
sure.
to be. I think he has to be. Yeah,
I haven't looked at mine in quite a while, and I never released it to the public, but I'm almost positive that I had him in my top 20 anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. He would be on the future Sox top 20, I believe.
Like, yeah. Right. I mean, have to be.
Just with like some of the injuries and some of the guys that have fallen off. And I know like Edgar Caro, like doesn't qualify anymore as of today. So there's going to be like lots of changes. Yeah. I mean, he should be in there anyway, probably, you know? Right. So, you know, yeah, yeah, Tanner McDougal is pretty impressive. I don't know if we see Birmingham like this. I mean, at some point here.
I mean, with the way things are going there, I wouldn't be surprised because somebody's going to move up because somebody at AAA is going to move or just get released. I mean, you got guys like, you know, Chris Rodriguez making starts and, you know, it's not anybody unless like they have like some sort of plan with him that doesn't really.
Right. I mean, like Riley anybody. Gowans could be making starts in triple, you know, who knows? I don't know.
If he keeps on pitching like he did for the Dash this week, he's going to be making AA starts this year at some point.
What do you think about a guy like Dan Altavilla or whatever, instead of going with one of the prospect arms? Is that just kind of a nod to a veteran? Like, hey, you signed with us. Like, because I'm pretty sure he had an opt out.
He did. Yeah.
And then they waived him and then they gave him $1 million like to stay basically, which is more than the minimum. It's like a couple hundred thousand more than the minimum, I think.
It's doing
a guy a solid, but he was pretty good in Charlotte.
Yeah. See, like that's the thing is that I like him. I think he's a good bullpen arm. And he did look good in Charlotte. So to me it seems like it's a pretty non risk. I mean, obviously, you know, you're only spending $1 million, so it's not like a whole lot of risk involved. And you don't have a whole lot invested in him otherwise, you know. So it's like, you know, you have your, you've got a guy that you can throw and set up. He's closed before, and he's been, you know, he's been pretty good there as well. So I was happy that he got re-signed because I was actually kind of surprised that they let him go. So I mean, if they had to bring him up to the major league club to do that, then it is what it is, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, worst case scenario is he's bad and you cut him. I mean, it's fine. I mean, you know, it's like not that big. You were paying him like whatever the minimum's 800 and some thousand, I think, anyways.
Yeah.
So like you were paying him 800 some thousand, like on his minor league deal. Like if he made it to the majors, you gave him $1 million instead. Okay.
Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm totally fine with it. And he's, you know, seems like guys in the clubhouse really like him. So.
Well, I mean, at some point, I think I'd like to see Wickelman and Paulette and some of these guys, but I think we will. I think that time's coming.
Yeah, and Tom mentions as well that he could be moved at the deadline.
Possibly. You know?
I
also think it helps. Like, it helps you as an organization, and nobody wants to hear this, right? But like, it does help you land NRIs. Like when you've shown that, like, hey, you perform for us. Like, we'll give you a little bit of a bump and give you the opportunity in the majors.
Yep. Yeah, no, for sure. I think that if there is one subset of Major League Baseball players that knows that they can sign a place, it would be with White Sox.
Yeah, non-roster invites love the White Sox.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of,
Think about the guys that the White Sox have cut. They're all like done. It's like over for them.
Yeah. Speaking of guys that that are done, Josh Harrison just hung him up. So, oh. Yeah, he retired.
I thought you were going to bring up the Tim Anderson DFA.
Oh, we could bring that up too. You brought it up, and I'm fine with that. Yeah,
I just I'm not surprised. I mean, like, I hear these radio hosts all over the city that like talk about this like fall from grace, and it's like, look, man, like as soon as this guy like lost the ability to hit consistently, like he's not a major leaguer because his defense isn't that good, and he doesn't walk, so. Like, it's just these super high batting average players, like, when they don't hit for super high batting averages, are kind of useless.
Yeah, and, well, like, that was, like, another one of the things that people always brought up, that his BABIP was very high. Or, you know, that...
Yeah, because he hit the ball really hard. Right, no,
yeah,
I know.
That, well,
I
that was always going. The excuse, right? Is that, oh, he hits the ball really hard. Even, like, even now, you know, even when he hits the ball hard, it's just... ground out, you know, just hasn't been getting that that opposite field single all the time like he used to.
Yeah, and you can be the free swinging guy who doesn't walk if you play Gold Glove defense.
Yeah, that's true.
But he doesn't. Yeah. So this is not terribly surprising.
Do we know how long it is until Chase Mydroth's rookie status is you know,
it's gotta be soon. Like,
it has
when is
to be,
he
right?
Up. Well,
like,
yeah,
he's got to graduate within like the next couple weeks, right?
I mean, Caro's is done already. How many at bats does Chase Mydroth? So Chase Mydroth has 140 at bats. Yeah, he's
so it's 10,
no,
right?
No, it's 140. He has 140 plate appearances right now. It's at bats. So how many games? 35 games. So it's 45 days active. Yeah, it should be any day now for him.
Yeah, it's gonna be within because, like, the next week,
because the rule is generally 130 at bats or 45 non-September days active, and if he's played in 35 games, he's got to be close to that.
Yeah,
I mean, no, he's still on the pipeline list, right? They didn't move him yet.
I don't think so. I could.
Yeah. So that's like probably, you know, like the easiest way to tell. But, yeah. No. So him and Caro, very soon will.
Yeah,
be
Mydroth's
off of,
still there. He's at number seven.
So any day now they'll be replacing him too.
I wonder who's gonna come up. Alejandro Cruz is number 30.
Right, but they inserted Paulette in.
Yes.
Higher.
So, I wonder who they're gonna bump up.
Yeah, my guess is the next guy in will. Oh, Opper's on here. That's who I said it was gonna be, and he's at 17 already. Yep. So, I don't know.
That is a million-dollar question.
Yeah. Jim Callis has his spreadsheet ready with. Guy number 31 right now. That'll move on to this list.
Yeah, unless collectively they decide, oh, this guy looks really good, like Matthias Lacombe. They're like, oh, look at him in Arizona.
Yeah, that would be my move probably. Just
I could
based
see
off
that.
Data.
So I mean, we're cruising at 100 an hour and 20 here. So do you
we can be done whenever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are
let's go
still
ahead
watching?
And what's that?
Are people still watching?
Yeah, there's 40 intently? People watching. So,
wow.
I mean, might as well bring up this,
thanks,
this Braden
guys.
Montgomery thing here. Yeah, thanks for sticking with us tonight, guys. It's been a rough one.
They have,
we appreciate
they
it.
They have Mogollon on, too. So,
yep.
That won't be him.
As well they should. As well
oh,
they should.
Oh, yeah. I think we left him off. Like, what a bunch of morons we are.
Well, we brought him up last year, though.
I know, 40% K rate in Arizona. Like, I couldn't justify it.
Yeah, I mean, with all the guys that got brought in, it made it hard.
But the thing is, like, I think we fully acknowledge, like, if he stops striking out that much, like, he's a real prospect.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's just as the games get harder, like, you don't expect the strikeouts to be cut in half or whatever it is.
Yep. So we had this conversation. about Winston-Salem, about how I said that they were going to be fun. And then they moved Galaney, they moved Caden Connor up to Birmingham. And the only thing that was saving it at one point was that they brought up Braden Montgomery from Kannapolis, and he was tearing the cover off the ball for the first couple of weeks. Well, it appears that, you know, as will happen as a guy goes up through a system, people find your holes in your swings. And there has been a hole found in Braden Montgomery's swing. And this is something that I've been worried about since I saw his left-hand swing, even regardless when he was murdering the baseball. I looked at his swing and I said, that doesn't look right. And if you watch his left-handed swing, he is he opens up the front of his body, you know, his hip and his front shoulder both are wide open, and he's selling out for power on the inside corner. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up what my thoughts on what his hot zones are. This is going to take a minute because I didn't build the scenes beforehand because, well, we weren't planning on using this streaming platform tonight. So, give me 1 second. And I have no idea where it went. I don't see it.
I love that. So on Twitter right now, this like cross sport promotion, like are things that I always love. So I think Patrick Mahomes is like part owner of the Royals or something, right? Huh? Is that, have you heard that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think he is.
So,
yeah.
So the pass and tweet about Jack Cags, Patrick Mahomes like quote tweeted it with that, like it's happening GIF from The Office.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, I think that's awesome. That, like, Patrick Mahomes is, like, the best quarterback any of us have ever seen, and he's excited for Jack Caglione.
Well, I
like,
mean...
I just, like, think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Because chicks dig the long ball. That's why.
They do. And he's a chick. And, all right, so
and,
I got it.
And
I
dudes.
Found it.
Yeah.
I found it. All right, so here is my thoughts on what Braden's heat zones look like when he's hitting left-handed. As you can see, in the center of the red, there is a dark red spot. And if you watch his swing, when he gets a pitch there, he absolutely murders it. If it is not in that zone, you could possibly be looking at a base hit, but you could also possibly be looking at, you know, just a line drive somewhere, whatever. But because he's opening his shoulder and his hip, the entire top of the zone and the entire outside, basically like, and I was actually being like pretty nice here, on the height and the outside pitches, he's not hitting anything up high and he's not hitting anything outside. It's just he's whiffing. That's why you're seeing a strikeout rate go up. I told James before that if I'm tweeting about somebody and I'm tweeting about somebody's mechanics, it's a problem. And it's definitely a problem. He's swinging under pitches that are high and he's way out of in front of and, you know, just missing everything on the outside part of the plate. And it's something that needs to be addressed. And I hope that at some point that Ryan Fuller or the guy that's I can't remember who the hitting coach in Winston-Salem is right off the top of my head. I know that when I hear it, I'll go, oh, yeah, that's him. Yeah.
Well, Ricken went to Charlotte, right? So, yeah, it's not him.
Yeah. I'm not, yeah, no, it's definitely a problem. And it needs to be addressed. Hopefully they get to it and get it sorted out because it's definitely something that needs to be sorted out. Obviously, it wasn't a problem in Kannapolis. And he's going to be seeing right-handed pitching and hitting left-handed way more than he ever hits right-handed. And baseball asked about his right-handed swing. His right-handed swing is definitely his coverage is better. But, you know, like his left-handed power is prodigious. You know, it's good. He hits the ball really, really hard left-handed. The problem being, though, is that if it's only in one particular spot,
yeah,
better hope that they throw it there.
Most scouts had issues with the right-handed swing. It was kind of, yeah. It was like interesting.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like I said, I've been noticing this for weeks. So I'm actually pretty shocked it took that long to figure it out and that they didn't do it in A-ball. But, you know how that
maybe
goes.
Maybe he's going to go for Arizona biomechanics work.
Could be. I don't know. I mean,
are you expecting Hagen this week? Or ever again?
Or ever again. I mean, let's hope so.
Yeah,
I'm hoping his arm didn't fall off while he was gone, you know, just leprosy or something.
My God.
Yeah. It's like a MASH unit. Rest in peace, Hot Lips. Yeah, it's a MASH unit.
I think we've been on too long. Yes.
Yeah, it's I don't know. You know, I'm hoping that he comes back here in the near future because they said his soreness was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that they need to sort out the reason for the soreness, which is biomechanical, because I'm not a professional here.
That's true. But, I don't know anything about pitching, and he was flying way open. Like, yeah. I can see him,
Yeah, that's going to put extra added stress on your shoulder and on your elbow. So let's hope that this stuff all gets sorted out and things start looking on the up and up because, I mean, you know, I will be frank, you know, there are outliers here that I am impressed with, but overall as a product, I was expecting more. I'll just say that. Just from the entire minor league system.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I was expecting a lot more from the offenses. I was expecting more from the pitching. I mean, granted, you've got, you know, a bunch of guys that are injured, but you know, like as a whole, I thought, you know, I was expecting more. I was expecting a little bit more, more performance and better performances. And it's just it is what it is. And you know, like I still support all the guys and whatever. But I mean, this year's been a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. So,
That's
fair. So. Thank you, everybody, for hopping on tonight on this absolutely strange trip that we've been on tonight with our servers for our let me hope that this, of course, it just dropped right over your face.
It's fine.
Yeah, no, it didn't end up affecting anything. But, yeah, thanks for hopping on, guys. Thanks for hopping in the chat. You guys are as every week, you guys are awesome. We appreciate you guys. Thanks for driving this whole thing. Even though we can't bring up comments on the screen for whatever reason, hopefully figure out the issue with this whole thing and it just works next week. Let's hope. You good, James?
All good, man.
All right. I'm going to walk us out. You have been watching / listening to the Future Sox podcast. If you are listening to this in podcast form, know that you can find us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on YouTube. Or the Purple app, which we are not on tonight, but you know how that goes. You can also find this podcast along with all of our written content at futuresox.net, including James' mock draft, which will be dropping shortly, and also his DSL preview, which is already there. If you are looking for White Sox prospect highlights, you can find them on X at Future Sox and now also here on our YouTube channel. If you love the content and want to support us here at Future Sox, there is a link to our Patreon in our channel description and at futuresox.net. You can also toss up a super chat on our YouTube stream. Also, don't forget to like this stream and subscribe with notifications so you know when we're going live while helping us in the World Wide Web algorithms. My name is Ian Eskridge at Daily White Sox. He's James Fox at James Fox 917. We appreciate all of you, especially on nights like this. You guys are awesome. Thanks for driving the community. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out, and we will catch you guys next week. Have a good one.